الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ يمكر بك الذين كفروا ليثبتوك أو يقتلوك أو يخرجوك ويمكرون ويمكر الله والله خير الماكرين وقال تعالى إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا إلى آخر الآية وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما ظنك يا أبا بكر باثنين الله ثالثهما أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله اللهم صل على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وأولاده وأزواجه وأهل بيته وذريته ومحبيه وأتباعه وأشياعه وعلينا معهم أجمعين يا أرحم الراحمين So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had insisted to purchase the camel from Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And we'd explain the reason that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to use his personal wealth in this great journey of hijrah, in this great ibadat of hijrah. So when he insisted, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, بِثَمَنِهَا إِنْ شِئْتْ O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you wish to pay the price, then I will accept the price. Meaning, although my desire is that I should offer this camel to you and I should not take anything in return. But O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your desire makes me more happy than my desire. One is my desire that I must offer it, but your desire is that you want to pay for it. And if that makes you happy, then it makes me more happy. If paying for it will make you happy, then O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am prepared to take the price for it. Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu an and the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum were personifications of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima ji'tu bih. And la yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in. That none of you can have complete iman until his desires are completely subservient to the sharia that I have brought. And none of you can have complete iman until I am more beloved to him than his own self, than his family, and than the entire world. So, O Nabi of Allah, my desire is that I should offer it for free. But your desire is to pay for it, and that will make me more happy, to keep you happy. So I am pleased to accept the price of these camels. The family of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his daughters, Sayyida Aisha and Sayyida Asma radiallahu anhuma, very quickly they prepare some provisions, some patkos for the journey. The patkos is prepared, the provisions is prepared, it's placed in a type of a bag. But there was nothing to close it, nothing to seal it. Sayyida Asma radiallahu anha, the daughter, the elder daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, she removes her sash, a nitaq. Sash is like a piece of material which is used as a belt around the waist. She removes that and she tears it in half, although she was using it. But this will also be sacrificed for the provisions of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She tears it in half and she uses that to tie the parcel of the provisions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her the title on this occasion, Dhatun Nitaqin. The one of two sashes, the one of two belts. And in one narration, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her, that Allah will bless you with a belt in Jannat. You sacrifice your belt for his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah will bless you with a belt in Jannat. Glad tidings of Jannat for Asma radiallahu anha. So this was the preparations happening on the side of, in the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As we had explained, that the Quraysh had connived and they planned. The plot was that they would have young men from each tribe and they would surround the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam instructed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he should not spend the night at his home. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an to sleep the night at his home. And the reason for this was that there were many trusts that were entrusted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Valuables of the Quraysh, of the people of Makkah Mukarrama. Although they did not believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they were confident and they had no doubt in the honesty and the integrity and the trustworthiness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they were his arch enemies, but they kept their valuables in his possession for safekeeping. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is leaving. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes arrangements. The importance here of the trust of people, belongings of people, wealth of people. Although now they are after the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that they want to kill me, what I must worry about their possessions. What must I worry about their wealth? I'd rather take all of it with me. No, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's trustworthiness and his honesty was to such an extent that although you are bloodthirsty for me, I will make arrangements that all your belongings must be given back to you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an that he should spend the night at the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then he should return all the trust to the rightful owners. And once this is done, then he should come to Madinah Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his home. And these warriors of the Quraysh had surrounded the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves. And he recites the first 9 ayat of Surah Yasin. From the beginning till fa'akhshaynahum fahum la yubsirun. So he recites these first 9 ayat. And the ulama explained that these ayat are a very powerful wazifa and a very powerful prescription. If a person is in a situation where he's being oppressed by someone, then he should recite these ayat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites these ayat. He takes a handful of sand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blinded these people from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to such an extent that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes the sand and he pours it on their heads as he's walking out. And none of them see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously this was a mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was that arrangement that Allah had made for the protection of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he pours the sand and he walks away in this manner. After some time, someone comes to them and he says to them, what are you waiting here for? They say, we're waiting for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says to them that you're waiting for him but he's already gone. And place your hand on your head, you will find sand on your head. And they place their hands and they find that there's sand on their heads. Then they peep into the house and they see that there is someone lying on the bed and covered with a shawl. And this was the shawl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they thought that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still in the home. All the time it was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Only the next morning, when Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu comes out from the home, and they ask him where about the whereabouts of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that he has already left. Then they realize that that person, the message that person came and gave them was actually true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the Quran Majeed. And he says, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. That remember the time when the disbelievers had plotted against you, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ. We had discussed 3 suggestions that were given. One was to tie Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up and to imprison him. The other was to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third was to banish Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, وَيَمْكُرُونَ. They plotted, they planned, وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. But Allah has His grand plan. Allah has His grand plan to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah is the best of planners. So we may face situations in life as well. But let us understand, Allah has a grand plan. Allah has a bigger plan. We may not understand the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our responsibility is to wholeheartedly submit to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way out for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make conditions turn in our favor. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves. They made an arrangement with a guide. Although he was a non-Muslim, they paid him. And the arrangement was made with him. His name was Abdullah bin Uraiqit. The arrangement was after 3 days, he must keep the camels. And after 3 days, he must meet them at the cave of Thor. So this was the arrangement that was made with this guide. And he would keep the camels. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an, very secretly, they leave Makkah Mukarramah. And they walk in such a way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking on the front of his feet. Tiptoe he is walking. So that not to leave behind traces. And he instructs Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu an that he should place his foot at the exactly same spot that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam places his foot. So if they're trying to track and trace, then they will not be able to make out a footprint or two footprints. And in this way it would confuse them. Now as they're walking, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, sometime he's walking in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after some time he's moving behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then again he goes to the front, then he goes to the back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam picks up this unusual behavior. This is not how a person would normally behave. Moving in the front, in the back, in the front, in the back. He realizes that there's something going on. So he asks Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, oh Abu Bakr, why are you behaving in this way? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu answers and he says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when I'm walking behind you, then the thought crosses my mind, what if there is someone laying in ambush for my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front? So I go to the front to protect you if there's someone trying to ambush you. And then when I'm walking in the front, the thought crosses my mind, what if there's someone chasing my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from behind? And because of that, I go to the back and I go behind you. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Abu Bakr, you are more concerned about me than your own self. He says, definitely, O Nabi of Allah. This is the behavior of a lover. A person that loves someone, then any suspicion will trigger that person's thought and his mind and will make him worried. A simple example. A parent loves the child. The child normally comes home 5 o'clock after madrasa. And now 5:10, the child didn't come home. What happens to the parent? The worst kind of thoughts will run through the mind of that parent. What must have happened? Maybe my child got kidnapped. Maybe he got knocked on the road. Maybe something else happened to my child. So this is the thoughts that come to the mind when a person is in love with the person. In Farsi, in Persian, they say, Ishq ast wa hazar bad gumani. That when a person has love, then he has 1,000 suspicions and doubts. And this was exactly the manner in which Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu behaved. What if they're in the front? What if they're behind? And in this way he went from front to back, from back to front, until finally they reach the cave. When they come to the cave, then he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Nabi Allah, I will go in front first. I will go in first. Why? If there's any harmful creature in the cave, فَإِنْ كَانَ فِيهِ شَيْءٌ أَصَابَنِي دُونَكَ, then that creature must harm me, it must not harm you, O Nabi of Allah. So he goes into the cave, and he cleans the cave from whatever dirt or harmful creatures they may have been. Then he sees some holes in the cave, which is an indication that there may be some scorpions, some poisonous animals and creatures that are living in those holes. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, everything of his was sacrificed for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, when we see the contribution of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the service, the selfless service that he offered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this occasion, then perhaps we will not be wrong if we say that in the entire annals of history, there was no one that served anyone. And there was no ummati that served any Nabi like the manner in which Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything of his was qurban. Everything of his was sacrificed for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now he takes his shawl and he tears his shawl into small, small pieces and he places those pieces of material covering those holes. But then there were still one or two holes where Abu Bakr radiallahu now did not have any piece of the shawl to cover those holes. So now I don't have my shawl to place there, but I will place my feet to protect my Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sits down with his feet placed on those holes, so that if anything comes out, then my leg will be bitten, but my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa would be safe. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa comes into the cave, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa lies down, placing his Mubarak head on the lap of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. While Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa is resting on the lap of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's feet is bitten by a poisonous animal. Now he is feeling pain. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not move. Why? I cannot disturb the sleep of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the sleep of my Nabi is more valuable than my own life. So I cannot disturb the sleep of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He does not move. But he is in pain. And because of the pain that he is experiencing, the tears roll down from his eyes. And it rolls and it falls on the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awakens with this tear. And he asks, oh Abu Bakr, what has happened? He says, oh Nabi of Allah, I have been bitten. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes his Mubarak saliva and places it on that bite. And that was the means of that bite being cured and that wound being healed. Ulama explain that years later, before his demise, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this same poison that was in his body, it was dormant. And now it became active. And it resulted in the mort and the demise of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because of this, they say that just as the other three khulafa were blessed with the mort of shahadat, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was also blessed with the mort of shahadat because he died because of the, and he passed away because of the poison of this poisonous animal. Nevertheless, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the cave, amazing arrangements were made by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. As we explained, everything was sacrificed for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not just for the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but even for the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will normally say, this is such a dangerous journey, now we can't worry about comfort. Look at the extent Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to in making arrangements. His whole household was mobilized. All of them's life was placed at risk. But my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be comfortable. So his daughter Asma radiallahu anha, her responsibility was, every night when things are quiet, then you must come and you must bring fresh food for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His son Abdullah bin Abi Bakr, his responsibility was, you spend the day in Makkah and you must pretend like nothing is happening. You just listen what they are speaking, what plans they are making, what they are talking. And at night you come and report to us and you tell us what's going on. And then his slave, his shepherd Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu anhu was given the command that you graze the sheep and the goats during the day. And then in the evening when the shepherds take their animals back home, you must bring these animals to the cave so I can give my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fresh milk to drink. These were the arrangements that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made for not only the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but for the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him and reward his family on our behalf and in behalf of the ummah, the best of reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made amazing arrangements for the protection of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After they go into the cave, Allah instructed a tree to grow at the opening of the cave. So now there's a big tree that's there. Then Allah instructs a spider to weave its web between the tree and the opening of the cave, the branches of the tree and the opening of the cave. And then two wild pigeons come at the mouth of the cave, and then the pigeon lays its eggs there at the mouth of the cave. Now normally, if a spider weaves its web, for a big web to be there, it means that no one will be there for a long time. A bird will look for a quiet place to lay its eggs. So these were all signs that there's no one there in the cave. Now when the Quraysh realized that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left Makkah Mukarramah and now he has escaped them, so they offer a reward, a very big price. Obviously, it was something that was very, very important for them. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they offered the reward of 100 camels. 100 camels was no ordinary reward. A camel was one of the prized belongings of the Arabs. 100 camels for the person who brings Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or who takes the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Obviously, because of this reward, the search parties went out and everyone wanted to get this reward. They even hired a professional tracker, someone who could trace and could see footprints, and you'll be able to work out which direction the person has gone. So there was a person by the name of Alqama bin Quraz al-Khuzai. They hired his services to track Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He begins to track until he reaches to the outskirts of Makkah Mukarramah, close to the mountain. And then he says, from here beyond this, I cannot track. And I don't know, possible he went to the right, possible he went to the left, possible he ascended the mountain. Nevertheless, they continue, the search parties continue. And they come very close to the cave where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was engaged in salah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was guarding. And then he sees someone coming so close. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is extremely worried. He begins to cry. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, if they just have to look down, they're going to see us. If they look down, they're going to see us. Imagine how sensitive this moment was. Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah says, in the history of humanity, there was not a more delicate and sensitive moment than this. This was the most sensitive moment. As we said last week, it was an issue of make it or break it. If they looked down, that would have been the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the end of Islam. And this is exactly what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was consoling him, he says, O Nabi of Allah, if I am killed, it's only one person that's killed. If I am killed, it's only one person that is killed. But O Nabi of Allah, in qutilta anta halakatil ummah. If your life has to be taken, that's the end of the ummah. That's the destruction of the ummah. There will be no deen after you. So this was the concern that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had. This was that sensitive moment, that either Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life would be saved, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life would be taken. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is absolutely calm. He says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, different answers he gives Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. One answer he says to him, مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا. Oh Abu Bakr, what do you think about those two people? The third of them is Allah. Meaning they have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with them. They are not alone. And this is exactly what the Quran Majeed explains. The empty ayat, the highlight of the ayat, إِذْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his sahib, he said to his companion, the point that ulama deduce from here, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is only that one sahabi, whose sahabiyat, whose companionship has been guaranteed by Quran. Because everyone knows, whether it's a lover of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or it's a hater of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, everyone knows that there was no one else in the cave with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam apart from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the Quran is saying, إِذْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ, when he said to his companion, to his sahabi. So Quran gave Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and him being the companionship of Rasulullah, the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إِذْ قَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ. Do not grieve. Imagine the level of yaqeen and tawakkul that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. That at that moment, la tahzan, don't grieve. Inna Allah ma'ana, Allah is with us. Another great glad tidings for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling him, Inna Allah ma'ana, Allah is with us. Not Allah is ma'i with me. Musa alayhi salam, when he was standing before the ocean, and his people are telling him that Fir'aun is behind us, We are going in inna lamudrakun. We're going to be caught by Fir'aun and his army. What does Musa alayhi salam respond? That was the occasion of Ashura, the day of Ashura. His answer was, kalla inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. Never. My Rabb is with me. He didn't say my Rabb is with us. But here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, inna allaha ma'ana. Allah is with us. Meaning, I enjoy the help of Allah. And Abu Bakr, you also enjoy the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a great virtue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. In fact, Maulana Idris Khandalvi rahmatullahi alayhi in Siratul Mustafa mentions 10 points of virtue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from this one ayat. A very interesting read. We can refer to Siratul Mustafa. The details are there. 10 points of virtue of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And on this point, respected friends, let us make a resolution that we will take out time to study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to also introduce our families to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallah, when we get interested in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then nothing else and no other life will ever interest us. Nothing will attract us. Nothing will attract our children. No sports star, no celebrity will attract them, because they will be attracted to the life of Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the best life. Allah says, "Laqad kana lakum fi Rasulillahi uswatun hasana." Is a beautiful example in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, every Thursday night, Munajiwa sahab reads from Siratul Mustafa. Let's try and sit in this gathering of the Sirat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and inshallah we will benefit. So nevertheless, these were the words that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. On his side, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying, O Nabi of Allah, Ama wallah ma ala nafsi a'il, walakin makhafata an ara fika ma yakrah. O Nabi of Allah, I'm not crying for my own self. Imagine how selfless in these kind of crunch moments. Then the person says, every man for himself. Normally every man for himself. Sometimes a person will even say that to his own family. Now my son, you need to fend for yourself. I have to fend for myself. Here Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying, O Nabi of Allah, I am not worried about myself. Walakin makhafata an ara fika ma akrah. But O Nabi of Allah, I am just worried that I must not see something happening to you that I don't want to see. I must not see something happening to you that I don't want to see you. I don't want to see. Selfless. Completely forgetting himself just for the protection and comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says that if they look down, if this person looks down, he's going to see us. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, he will never see us, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed 3 angels that are also covering the mouth of this cave with their wings. And then that person who was there, he sits down to urinate. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, if this person knew we were here, he would never urinate in this direction. The fact that he sat down to urinate here means he does not know we in this cave. So in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Quraysh could not work out where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. They say that he cannot be in this cave, otherwise this web of the spider will not be there. In fact, one of the leaders of the Quraysh, perhaps it was Uqbah ibn Abi Mu'ayt, he says to them, what are you wasting your time? That spider's web is there. That spider started weaving its web before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even born. It's such an old web there. What are you wasting your time looking in that direction? And in this way they go. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu spend 3 nights in this cave. And as we explained, the arrangements that were made by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his family, all of them were mobilized for the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, after spending 3 nights, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu depart. Most historians are of the opinion that they depart on a Monday. They depart from the cave of Thawr. It was the beginning of the month of Rabiul Awwal. Some say that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam left Makkah Mukarramah on Thursday. It was the first of Rabiul Awwal. And he spent these 3 days in the cave, 3 nights in the cave. And then, so on Thursday he left, the first of Rabiul Awwal, he left Makkah Mukarramah. And then on Monday, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves from the cave. As was the arrangement with the guide, Abdullah bin Abi Uraiqit, he comes, he brings the camels to the cave of Thawr. And now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mount the camels. And now there's 4 of them that's traveling. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the guide Abdullah bin Uraiqit, and the slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu anhu, they four are traveling. As they are traveling, one incident that had taken place perhaps on that day or one of the next few days, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says it's midday heat. And he's looking for some place where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam can rest. He finds a huge rock. And there's some shade next to that rock. So he takes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to that rock. He cleans the area. He spreads down a shawl. And he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to rest there. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, I will walk around to make sure that everything is safe. As he is walking, he comes across a shepherd. And he asks the shepherd, who are you? Who's your master? When he explained who the master was, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knew the master. And he understood that the master won't mind if he drank milk from his animals. So he asked the shepherd to milk some milk for him, for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But again, look at how much of arrangement he's making for the comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says to the shepherd, first clean the udders. Make sure there's no dust there, there's no dirt there. And then he brings a bowl and he presents it to the shepherd. The milk is milk into this bowl. And then he takes it and he sprinkles some water on this milk in order to cool the milk for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The best that I can do to bring comfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't wake him up. He doesn't disturb his sleep. He waits for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wake up. And then he presents this milk, this cool milk to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the highlight of this incident is the words that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mentioned thereafter. He says, فَشَرِبَ حَتَّى رَضِيتُ. He says, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank until I became happy. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank until I became happy. Normally, he drank till he became happy. Or I drank till I became happy. Here he is saying, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank until I became happy. Again that same point, that it was nothing about myself. It's all about the comfort of my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with one iota of this love and concern for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they continue with their journey. The next major event that had taken place was they came across a lady by the name of Ummu Ma'bad, who later on became a Sahabiya radiallahu anha. She was an old lady and she would be living there on the road. The road that they took was not the normal road. Obviously, because the search parties would go on the normal road. So this guy took them on a coastal route. So they traveled on this route and they passed by this lady, Ummu Ma'bad, who was sitting outside her tent. And normally, she would offer some type of food or extend some type of hospitality to those that are passing by. So they come to her. But at this occasion, that area was experiencing very severe drought. So she did not have anything to offer them. They ask her that, can we purchase some food from you? She says that, if I had something, I would have given it to you. You wouldn't have needed to purchase it from me. But I don't have anything. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees a very weak goat there near the tent. So he says to her, or he asks her, can I milk this goat? She says that this goat is very weak. It's sick. Therefore it's here. It hasn't gone out to graze with all the other goats because it can't even manage to go out to graze. But if you want, you may try. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to this goat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam reads a few words and he rubs his Mubarak hand on the udders and the back of this animal. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam begins to milk. And the milk gushes from this animal. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam first offers the milk to Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha. She drinks to her full. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam offers the milk to the other companions. And then lastly, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam drinks. Then again he milks one more. And he gives this milk to Ummu Ma'bad radiallahu anha. She was surprised that a goat that was so weak and it could not even go out to graze, that goat now is giving milk. And she says that the barakah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Mubarak hands on the udders of this animal is that 18 years later, when normally an animal will even die, 18 years later, 17 to 18 years later, in the time of Umar radiallahu an, there was a famous drought. It was known as Amur Ramada, the year of Ramada. Ramada was the extent and severity of the drought that there was nothing, no vegetation whatsoever. So there was only dust flying. So from there, this drought was given this name, the drought of dust. This one explanation. So in that drought, she says, when there was no food whatsoever, this goat of ours would continuously give us milk morning and evening. The barakat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Mubarak hands, 18 years later, we were still enjoying milk from that sheep and that goat. Allah only knows how long after that it lived also. So nevertheless, they leave Umm Ma'bad radiallahu anha. And now her husband comes and he sees there's milk. Where milk came from? So she says, Marra bina rajulun mubarak. There was a very blessed person that came and passed by her. And then she begins to give the description of the beautiful features of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the manner in which he spoke, the manner in which he interacted. She gives a graphic description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When her husband hears this, he says that this is none other than the person that the Quraysh is looking for. And if this is the person, then we also need to go meet up with him and we need to accept Islam at his hands. And they also left and they made hijrah to Medina Munawwara and they accepted Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This incident had taken place approximately 3 to 5 days after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left Makkah Mukarramah. This entire duration, the Quraysh didn't know where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. In fact, even the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't know where he was. Asma radiallahu anha says that Abu Jahl came to the home. He's interrogating us. Abu Jahl was Abu Jahl, a tyrant. He came and interrogated us. Where's your father? We say, we don't know where he is. She says that he even slapped me so hard that my earring fell off. Again, everything sacrificed for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, but I didn't have any answer. I told him, I don't know where my father is. When this incident happened en route, at the tent of Umm Ma'bad, now the people in Makkah Mukarramah hear a voice. It was a jinn that was calling out to the people of Makkah Mukarramah. Jazallahu rabban nasi khayra jazaihi. Jazallahu rabbun nasi khayra jazaihi. Rafiqaini halla khaymatay ummi ma'badi. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of humanity, reward, the best of reward, the two companions that have gone to the tent of Umm Ma'bad. The poetry goes on, lengthy poetry, in which this jinn explains the whole incident of the sheep. Ask the sheep and the sheep will tell you. And whole details he gives. It was only at that time that now the Quraysh realized that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was gone very, very far away. He had already reached the tent of Umm Ma'bad. This was a voice that they heard from the unseen, a jinn calling out and telling them. En route, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another major incident that had taken place and transpired was the meeting with Suraqa bin Malik. Suraqa bin Malik came from the Banu Mudlid tribe. The Quraysh sent messages all over to the different surrounding tribes as well, that whoever finds Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 100 camels for him. So he says, Suraqa bin Malik says that I was sitting with my people and someone came and says that I saw some people far away traveling. Perhaps it is the people that the Quraysh are looking for. So he says, I knew it was them, but I didn't want anyone else to get the 100 camels. Money makes people funny. So he says, I didn't want anyone else to get that. So what I did, I said, no, can't be them. It's not them. We sent someone else out for some work. It must be those people you saw. So he says, I just turned the story. I put people off. I went to my home. I told my slave girl, take my horse and go behind the mountain and you meet me there. Because no one must see me leaving. He says, I go with my spear quietly from the back door. I leave the home. And he says, I go. I meet the slave girl. I jump onto the horse and now I begin to follow them. And he says, I came so close that I could even hear the qiraat and the recitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was absolutely calm, not looking behind. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his concern for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again. He's looking behind. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, he's right here. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu begins to tear. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comforts him. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, O Nabi of Allah, again, Ma ala nafsi abki, walakin abki alayk. O Nabi of Allah, I'm not crying for myself, I'm crying for you. I'm crying for you, what's going to happen? This person is so close, he's so near. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi makes two du'as. One du'a, Allahumma sra'ahu. Oh Allah, make him fall from his horse. Oh Allah, make him fall from his horse. Drop him from his horse. Another du'a, Allahumma kfinahu bima shi'it. Oh Allah, you take care of him. You suffice us from him. In whichever way you want to do so. And Suraqah bin Malik, as he's coming, the legs of his horse begin to sink. It was hard ground. The legs go into the ground, some narrations till the knees, some narrations up till the stomach. He realizes, some narrations explain he tried on a few attempts. And he even, they used to use the arrows. And in this way they would take some omen. So he used his arrows to take an omen. The omen came out negative, don't go. But he ignored it. The reward was in front of him. He ignored the omen, tried again. Again something happened to him, he fell off his horse. And then finally when he was stuck in this way, he calls out to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he says that I know that I am in this predicament because of you. Make dua for me that I come out from this predicament. I won't harm you in the least. Nabi sallallahu alaihi makes dua. The horse comes out from the ground. Now he comes and he offers food to them. He realized that these are no ordinary people. So he offers food to them. Nabi sallallahu alaihi declines. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi says, the only thing we want from you, akhfi anna. That turn people away from us. Don't let people know where we are. So he also on his side, he found that this is a golden opportunity. If this is the Nabi of Allah and I've seen the signs, then one day he's definitely going to prevail. He's going to become the ruler. Let me take some assurance from him. So he says, I want a document, amnesty document. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu writes for him on a piece of page or some type of leather piece or a bone. He writes a document of amnesty for him. He doesn't accept Islam at this time. Suraqah bin Malik goes back and whoever he met, he tells them that don't worry, I have taken care, there's no one on this side. I've taken care of this area. And in that meeting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amazingly, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Suraqah bin Malik, understand the situation. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is fleeing for his life. There's a ransom of 100 camels on the Mubarak head of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is fleeing for his life. But at that precise moment, such conviction on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to Suraqah, كَيْفَ بِكَ يَا سُرَاقَةَ كَيْفَ بِكَ إِذَا لَبِسْتَ سِوَارَي كِسْرَى. Oh Suraqah, what will be your condition when you will be wearing the bangles of the superpower of the Persian emperor of Kisra? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is worried, he's fleeing for his life, but he is telling this person, a day will come when you will be wearing the bangles of the superpower of the time, of the Persian emperor Kisra. Such yaqeen in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has promised me that my deen will prevail. On this point, another important aspect, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted various means and various precautions. The manner in which they walked, they went into the cave, they hid for 3 days, and all the different means Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopted. And the reason for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam adopting the means was to show the ummah that it is permissible to adopt the means. But then together with that, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam also taught a very important lesson, that your yaqeen and conviction will not be on the means. So on those times when the means began to fail him, when that person was right there at the door of the cave, Nabi sallallahu alaihi didn't get perturbed. Why he didn't get perturbed? Because his yaqeen wasn't on the means. When a person's yaqeen and conviction is on the means, then when the means are failing him, then he will lose his senses at that time. Then he loses himself. He becomes extremely perturbed. Why? Because his conviction was that means is going to protect me. But Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's confidence and his conviction was not on the means. He used the means because this is the manner and the system that Allah has set out, and to teach the ummah that you can also adopt the means. But at the same time, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's complete yaqeen and conviction and confidence was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, on those very, very sensitive moments, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not lose himself and he maintained his composure. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Suraqah, that the time will come when you will be wearing the bangles of Suraqah. Then years go by. The time comes when Rasulullah SAW conquers Makkah Mukarramah. And then he goes to Hunain. And he wins the battle of Hunain. And now Nabi SAW stops at a place called Ji'rana or Ji'irana. He stops there. And from there Nabi SAW made Umrah, which is known as Umratul Ji'irana. When Nabi SAW was there in Ji'rana, then Suraqah bin Malik comes. He tries to go to Rasulullah SAW. People are pushing him away. He pushes himself front. And he comes to Rasulullah SAW. And he says, O Nabi of Allah, this is Suraqah bin Malik. And here's the amnesty that you gave me. Nabi SAW says to him, Yawmu wafa'in wa birrin udnu. Nabi SAW didn't forget. Nabi SAW didn't forget. Now everything is under my control. It doesn't mean I forget the promises that I made. Nabi SAW says, today is the day of fulfilling promises. Come closer. And then Nabi SAW meets him. He speaks to Nabi SAW. He accepts Islam. And then he takes the message of Islam to his people. So this is how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu traveled to Madinah Munawwara. There were certain other incidents that had taken place. When they came closer to Madinah Munawwara, then they met Zubayr radiallahu anhu on one instance, and Talha radiallahu anhu on one instance, and they offered some clean clothes to them. So they wore these clothes. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu reached Madinah Munawwara. On the side of the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara, every day they were waiting. Because they already had indications, perhaps it was when that voice was heard in Makkah Mukarramah, the message reached them in Madinah Munawwara that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is en route. And they would come out daily. From the morning they would come out to the outskirts, waiting for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But then when the midday heat would become very intense, then they would go back to their homes. One day as they went back to their homes, there was a Jew that was looking from a high fort of his. And he sees these people coming. And he made out that it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He screams out to the Ansar of Madinah Munawwara, Ya Bani Qayla, Hatha jaddukum qad ata, or Hatha jiddukum qad ata. Oh Ansar, Oh Aus and Khazraj, this is the one that you are waiting for, he has come. And then the Ansar of Madinah come out, and they welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes to the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara, the area which is known as Quba today. It was known as Quba at that time as well, around Masjid Quba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes there. It was a Monday, and certain historians are of the opinion it was the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. Others say it was the 8th of Rabiul Awwal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, and he stays in Quba for approximately 14 days. And thereafter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Madinah Munawwara. This was the gist of the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the great service that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had offered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, next week we will continue with the hijrat of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Although it was only meant to be 2 weeks. 2 weeks took for the hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, we will try and discuss a few highlights from the hijrat of Sahaba radiallahu anhum and lessons to be derived from there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the anwar and barakat of this hijrat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to take inspiration and lesson from the various incidents that had taken place during this hijrat. One important point is that the whole family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu mobilized. It was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It was his slave. It was his daughter. It was his son. So the lesson that we learn from here is that it's not sufficient for me to only be on deen. For me to be performing salah in the masjid, when there's no deen in my family, it's not sufficient. As a family, we need to understand. Just as the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood that everything of ours will be sacrificed for the well-being and comfort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a family we need to understand. We need to make such effort on our family that the family also understands that the primary concern in our life is the deen of Allah and the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One last incident. Asma radiallahu anha says that when my father left, then he left with whatever wealth was left. We explain that he had 40,000 silver coins when he accepted Islam. On the occasion of hijrat, he only had 5,000 left. He took everything with him. He left nothing behind for his family. But obviously the family was on that level of yaqeen that he did not need to leave anything behind for them. But she says that now my dada comes home, grandfather comes home, Abu Quhafa, the father of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes. He comes to see his granddaughters. Are they okay? And he asked them, he was blind. He was an old man, he was blind. And he asked his granddaughters, that has your father left anything behind? She says, my father left nothing behind. He left nothing behind. But look at the yaqeen of the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And look at the effort that he made on his family. That they were absolutely comfortable. Otherwise, this would have been the opportune moment for them to complain. Complain to Dada, you know what your son did? He left us with nothing and he's gone. But look at the level of happiness that my father is sacrificing everything for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she needed to keep the old man comfortable. She says, I take some pebbles and I place it in one corner of the house. And I took a piece of cloth and placed it over that. Now the coins are round, the pebbles were round. She says, then I lead my grandfather to that place. And I placed his hand on those pebbles. It seemed to be coins. And I said, قَدْ تَرَكَ لَنَا كَثِيرًا أَوْ شَيْئًا كَثِيرًا. He has left a lot for us. He says, if he's left enough for you, then it's fine. If he left enough for you, then it's fine. The point that I'm mentioning is, that the whole family was prepared, that we will sacrifice for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This didn't happen overnight. It was the effort that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made on his family. And as we said, the start of point is that let us introduce our family to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ta'aleem daily in our homes, and inshallah it will bring a very drastic change into our homes. And the family as a unit will understand that our objective in life is to please Allah and to please His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the true understanding. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka ash-shukru kullu. Allahumma la nuhsi thanan alayk anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana sayyidina wa mawlana Muhammadan sallallahu alaihi wasallam bima huwa ahlu. Ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Aslih lana sha'nana kullu ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك اللهم أحي الدين كله في العالم كله إلى يوم القيامة واجعلنا سببا لذلك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين